What do you mean? What do you mean? Different vibe of sus?
I don't know. I was thinking
suspicious. Suspicious, Charlie.
I was thinking less people. He's not wrong. More, you know, what's he gonna say? You know,
like I fail to process the argument here, Charlie.
Fair enough. Then, then let me just take my driver's test, and we'll be on the way.
Way. Hello and welcome to Sometimes Video Games. I'm Adam, and I'm joined by Polly Walsh and Louis Birtwistle, as per usual. How are you doing?
We are chilling. Charlie's in pain.
Charlie is in pain. How are you feeling, Charlie?
In pain.
Don't know. I expected anything more. Did we tell everyone last week on the podcast what you did, or was it you just telling me privately? I think you were just telling me privately about the fridge.
I don't know, man. My back's just screwed.
I
don't need to explain. It's just in pain, bro. It's done in. It's done out here. The back is no more. You know.
It's no more. Are you getting old? Yeah. Is that the problem?
No, I'm just a idiot. It's not good.
I don't think you actually told anyone. You told me yesterday, the other day, that you what did you try to lift the fridge?
No, it wasn't anything to do with it. I just my back got done.
But you were
that's
trying
the
to,
thing.
Like,
it's not. It's nothing to do with the fridge. The fridge broke as well at the same time. It was nothing to do with
oh,
that.
Oh, it was just the fridge broke and then your back broke.
Yeah, but they were completely separate incidents.
Oh, I thought they were related somehow.
No, they were completely separate. They happened within 10 minutes of each other, but they were. Separate incidents.
Fair enough. Where is it in the lower of the back or the middle?
Of my back.
The whole. Oh god.
My lower back is screwed from the chair, and then my upper back is also gone now. So my whole back.
Oh shit! I've had back pain. You've got some paracetamol, haven't you?
Yes.
Do you think it'll help?
No.
No.
I mean, it'll dull the pain, but it'll come back. That's the problem.
Oh yeah, it comes back. Right, let's not draw attention to it, otherwise it'll hurt more. That's not how it works. Louis, how are you? Other than chilling, how are you? What have you been up to? What are you doing?
I've been working.
Tell me a story.
Having tooth pain.
You're in pain. Fuck me.
Which I'm having right now.
Did you have it before? You didn't mention it.
No, I'm trying to ignore it.
Oh, that's not good. Did you eat something? Did you like break your tooth on something? Or?
Nah. It's a wisdom tooth that needs to come out.
Shit. I've never had a wisdom tooth. I don't know what that's. I feel myself lucky for that. But have you had them before?
Yeah, I've had my other three taken out.
Shit. The sun's mad. Have you had them, Charlie?
Yeah, but mine haven't caused me any problems at all.
Really? That's so weird. I don't know what it feels like at all to have like extra teeth growing on your teeth. It just sounds so odd to me. It's such an unusual situation to be in.
It doesn't really feel any different, to be honest.
Unless you're in pain, obviously.
Yeah, but then I guess that would be the same if you had any tooth pain, right?
I don't know. It's a good question, though. It's a very good question, Charlie.
Oh, I don't know if it is.
It's not a question we can answer anyway, because we are not medical professionals or dentists.
You should be.
I should be a dentist. Yeah, you're right.
You should be a medical.
My parents would approve far more if I was a dentist instead of whatever the fuck I am now, which is unemployed and sometimes talk to people online. There we go. I'm sure a medical professional pays a lot more as well.
I would probably be more proud of you.
You'd be more proud of me if I was a medical professional. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you would be more proud of me. I'm glad that you feel any sense of pride towards me as it is, to be honest. Jesus. Have you done anything else, Charlie, this week? You've been in pain.
No, it's just pain. And, like, pain. trying to think, have I actually done anything? Not really.
No.
Not outside of work, anyway.
No.
I'm trying to think. Have I played anything? No, not really.
No.
I tried to play Art of Rally for a bit. It was fine.
Art of Rally?
It's this indie rally game.
Oh, yeah.
It's fine.
Cool.
It looks really good, but gameplay-wise, it's very fine.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. That's just probably
it's like fine. It's one of those things where it's like I have nothing even really to say about it. Yeah. It's like it looks really nice, and I like the idea. Mm. But when I started playing it, I was like, "Cool, this is distinctly fine." and it wasn't. It just didn't. It didn't hold my attention in any way, shape, or form.
I got you. Yeah,
it's a solid 6-7 out of 10, that kind of vibe. Really? Like it looks really nice, but it's just nothing to say about it whatsoever.
I mean, it's fair. I started playing not the first Yooka-Laylee, but the second Yooka-Laylee, the impossible layer, the 2D platformer, because I had it for free, and I was like, let's give this a go. I remember somebody talking to me about the game, and they said it was their favorite game of the year that it came out, which I don't know. So I played it for a little bit, and it's like, it's very Donkey Kong Country. To the point where, like, so like Yooka-Laylee, I know, was sort of a spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie, right? Only incredibly bad in every way possible, as far as I'm aware.
I don't remember that being the case, but carry on.
Really?
I think the reception was maybe different to that, but carry on.
Maybe. So this is like Donkey Kong Country, only not as good. I mean, it's still, I probably assume it's better than the original Yooka-Laylee, but I remember the reception not being so good to Yooka-Laylee, but I remember a lot of people.
I know it wasn't good. Like, it wasn't great, but I don't think incredibly bad. I think it was it was another very 7, 7.5 game.
It's not Balan Wonderworld levels of bad, but it's like I don't think I think seven.
I think the problem with Yooka-Laylee is it was kickstarted.
Yeah,
there was a level of excitement around it that you couldn't generate just by releasing it normally. And so, like, a 7, which is fine, feels like a 4 because it was like, oh my god, the people who made Donkey Kong 64 Banjo-Kazooie and all of that are coming back to make another one, blah, 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 blah. Mm. Whereas in reality, there's like 8 blokes in a room in
Guildford or whatever it
is. Wherever Playtonic is. Yeah, Guildford probably.
It's always Guildford.
Trying to make it, and it's like having played it, I think it's fine.
Oh really?
I want to go back and finish it at some point, but I think that was probably, from what I remember a lot of sevens existing. Fine. Impossible Layer, though, as far as I remember, got slightly better.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, because I never played the original Yooka-Laylee, but I have heard from other people how they didn't enjoy it. But as far as I'm concerned, like, Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Layer feels better than the original. It also feels like a much floatier, less impactful version of Donkey Kong Country, which is kind of
Donkey Kong Country is pretty floaty.
It can be, yeah. Like, you know, which I find is interesting. I'm not the biggest fan of that. I'm not the biggest fan of Donkey Kong Country in general, to be fair, but you can see where it's taken from Donkey Kong Country, like, almost immediately. It's not trying to hide its influences, I guess.
That's the point, right?
Is that the point? I guess so.
Yeah, in the same way that like
it was sold off being Banjo-Kazooie, right? Instead of being like something else.
What's the word I'm looking for? Yes.
Yes is the word.
Two point hospital.
Oh, with the theme hospital stuff. Yeah.
Same deal, right? Yeah. Here's some. We're bringing something back very specifically.
Mm.
And we're very much cribbing off the same sheet.
True. Yeah, that's totally fine.
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
No, I don't think it is a bad thing, especially when you're taking it off big games that are well loved. As well, like, obviously Donkey Kong Country, Banjo-Kazooie are very well-loved games. Banjo-Kazooie more well-loved than I ever thought it was, but that's neither here nor there, I guess.
Or Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, I never always... I guess I underestimated how much people love that game.
Yes, because it's better than Mario 64.
To be fair, I don't like Mario 64 that much either.
Banjo-Kazooie is like the pinnacle
It's a polished Mario 64, right?
It's probably the pinnacle of the 3D platform, potentially.
Just in general, like...
Probably.
There's nothing better than it.
Probably not.
Jesus, really?
I mean, name a 3D platformer that's better.
New Ratchet or the Spyro games? The early Spyro games are pretty good, man.
I think the early Spyro games you can make an argument for, but like 3 specifically, but I think Ratchet, like, I think you're moving into a different realm.
Also the other Mario games that have come out.
I guess like Mario, Galaxy. Yeah. Alright, from its time. Alright, let's go from its time.
Yeah, from its time is a lot more fair. I was just like, holy, what, of all time? Like, Jesus Christ, man, that's a lot of...
I mean, it's still better than the vast majority of them.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think 3D Mario is maybe the one I would make the argument for. When you're looking at, like, Ratchet stuff, it's a completely different genre at that point. Not completely different, but...
It's not completely different.
I wouldn't call it a 3D platformer anymore, would I?
I think there's still 3D platformers, but I think there's less focus on collectathons. Yeah, but I wouldn't call it like objective.
I would call it it's an action adventure third person shooter, right? Like, if your primary objective is to run around and jump, then I think we can talk about 3D platforming. If your primary objective is to shoot things, then
maybe. I would say that Ratchet has more in common with Banjo than it does Gears of War, though.
I don't know if I agree.
I think Banjo Kazooie and Gears of War are very comparable.
They are the same game, you're
both
right.
Both are about bears, but just different types of bears.
And they have their companion sidekick who dies.
Yep.
Wait, what?
Well, Kazooie doesn't die, but yeah, sure.
Damn!
Kazooie! It's like, I want that crossover now. The Banjo Kazooie Gears of War crossover where Dom and Kazooie get swapped. So Banjo and Dom are like traveling up Grunty's tower or whatever, while Marcus and Kazooie do stuff. I don't know what you run sloggily through mud.
Does that mean Kazooie's gonna have to kill her dying wife? A very emotional scene.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's what happens. Yeah, Kazooie has to kill Kazooie's dying wife in a very emotional scene. You're right. That's exactly what happens. Do you not think that would make Gears of War better and also Banjo Kazooie better?
How would Kazooie hold the gun?
In its mouth, I guess. It's got wing hands. I don't know what it has. Can it grab things? I assume not, because it's stuck in a backpack for most of its time, but... I've never seen Kazooie's hands, but I'm going to assume Kazooie can hold a gun.
I'm going to say yes.
I don't think Kazooie could hold a gun.
Kazooie is the gun in Banjo-Kazooie, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
You shoot eggs through the Kazooie.
Isn't like that's the thing they always said about Spyro. That's why they said they moved on from Spyro to
Spyro's a gun.
Other things. No, because Spyro couldn't hold anything, so they felt like they'd done everything they could with the idea.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that was the case, but I guess I could see the argument for that. What?
What else can we do?
Their final idea was put him on a skateboard,
and it banged.
Fair.
And it banked.
I don't like, maybe. I don't think there's that much gameplay innovation you can add to Spyro, right? Like, I can't think of anything where I'm like, you know what would add to Spyro this? You know, I don't think there's anything I can't think of anything specifically there. It would be like,
no, but do you need to add to it?
I mean, true. We all know what happens when you add random mechanics into video games that are 3D platformers. They turn into Sonic, and Sonic gets a gun and a car and multiple alien things and whatever else happened, a werewolf form.
I think, again, it's the problem with it being an animal that can't hold things.
Mm.
Like, if you think about, like, Mario can have a backpack.
Sonic can hold things.
Yeah, I was talking more about Spyro than Sonic. Sonic is a mess and should never be spoken about, but you know what I'm saying.
Sure. No, it's just Spyro. Yeah, I guess Spyro can't hold things. But what would you want him to hold?
But the point, it's not that you want him to hold something, it's that there's nowhere else to go.
Maybe, yeah, I guess with Mario. Yeah, I guess with Mario's kind of weird though, right? So Mario's done a bunch of random, like Mario's had a water jetpack at one point and whatever, he has a magical hat in fucking Odyssey, right? Like, Mario's a weird example, I think. But yeah, like, I guess bipedal people can do more, can't they? Like Crash is never really restricted in that way.
He has a bazooka at one point.
He does have a bazooka. He shoots apples, right?
Drives a car.
Spyro.
Although, to be fair, Spyro is in the remake of the Crash Team Racing, so.
He is. Does he drive a car?
Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
There we go. That's how it is then, I guess. Does he drive it with his mouth or with his hand? To be fair, in Crash Team Racing, it doesn't actually work that way, does it? Because like Polar and Puma drive a car with their hands and legs, right?
Yeah, he does it with his legs as well.
They've got little like nubby paws that do stuff. So I guess it's just exactly the same, right?
Yeah. Huh. Huh. Except he has wings as well.
Can he fly? Can he use his wings?
No. Well, he's legendarily the small dragon, right? So he can't really fly anyway. He can only really glide. So
apart from there's one levels, like, there's like little levels where he can fly.
Yeah, where he can fly a bit. So what's he gonna do? Lift up an entire car? I don't see that happening personally.
He could hover over I mean, it would break the game if he could hover, but you know,
like when he jumps in the air, his wings do a little flutter.
Yeah. But it doesn't affect the mechanics of his gameplay.
Oh no.
No. Well, I mean it would make sense. Would make sense. I remember talking about kart racing games. The Sonic one's got a lot of interesting characters in, hasn't it? The Sega All-Stars Racing.
Yeah.
Thing. It's got a lot of great characters in there. Banjo-Kazooie's in there, the original one.
Flipping what you call it? Football Manager.
Football Manager's in it, yeah, he is. He is. I still don't know how that works, because I don't know if Football Manager is a character.
It's just a guy.
It's just, yeah,
the guy from the front cover. If you type in Football Manager covers, then you'll see like covers tend to be. Like the recent one I think were people. Yeah, but before that, talking usually it's like a single fella who is like a sort of anonymous manager.
Oh, yeah, it's a dude who's just wearing like a shirt and a tie in it. Yeah.
So it's him.
Yeah, I've not played any of those ones. Although, did they have a face in this one? In 2012? Or no, that's a real human. Not a...
So that's a real human. Yeah, it was always a real human, Adam.
No, he's a faceless being, isn't he?
Yeah, but you always see him from like the nose
from
down.
From the nose down, yeah. You know, and this one has a face. Manager,
if you look at the Football Manager in Sonic, you'll see that he has a helmet over his eyes.
Does he?
So you only see him from the nose down.
Does he? I'll have to check it. I'm checking it now. I'm doing it now. Oh yeah,
and
he's
drives
got
around
on,
in
yeah.
like a fancy car with like football wheels.
Oh yeah, the little football wheels. Yeah. Was he good? I don't even. Sonic All Stars Racing went mad on that fucking thing. They had Total War characters. They had in someone from Yogg's cast. Like, Jesus Christ.
Team Fortress.
Team Fortress, yeah.
They had Command. Was it Command and Conquer? There was something else.
Maybe. From that
realm.
That sounds about right. There were so many weird characters.
Danica Patrick.
Danica Patrick was in the original as well, wasn't she?
She was in the first one, yeah. She was in the first one.
Yeah, but that's such a weird concept. I'm genuinely sad that they didn't continue making those types of games, you know? Like,
well, they did. They made one more, Team Sonic Racing, but...
But they got rid of all of the Sega characters and made it more about Sonic. Which is...
Sure, I mean, it's the same series, but yeah. I don't disagree with you.
It would be cool if they didn't do that. Also, I hear the gameplay wasn't as good as well, so that's neither here nor there.
We should have WWE kart racing game.
I'm surprised there isn't a WWE kart racing game.
There was WWE Crush Hour, which was a WWE version of a Twisted Metal. That's the closest you ever got.
Because that'd work, that wouldn't it? That'd be awful. Stupid, but it'd work. Like John Cena, and he's got like a special ability that goes invisible.
I feel like, well, yeah. I feel like if you played Crush Hour, you would change your mind very quickly.
Oh, no. I mean,
like John Cena's marathon. Car would be a pickup truck.
Why?
Because it's just typical American.
I don't know. But no, I imagine it would be fun. Not Crush Hour. I don't think Crush Hour would be. Well, maybe it would be, but I never played Twisted Metal. But like, just a kart game. Oh, you doesn't have to be fucking Twisted Metal. It could be just Mario.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying. Like, it would change your mind on whether or not you would want it.
Oh, I would never play it anyway because I don't watch or play wrestling games. But it would be semi entertaining for a bit, right? I imagine. Just Mario Kart.
Awful. My God. Even as a kid, I remember thinking, this is god awful.
Really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It's primary school, so 2004, 5, something like that. 3.
That's impressive, though. It's impressive that you're like, no, this is the worst. This isn't good. I don't think I ever, even bad games as a kid, I was kind of like, yeah, I'm having fun, right? There probably were games. I probably just played it for like half an hour and then never bothered playing it again, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just remember really not enjoying it.
Yeah.
I remember coming up with ways to win that were like, how can I force this game to let me,
I get it. Did you enjoy the wrestling games at that time, or the actual proper wrestling games?
Oh yeah, they all banged.
Yeah,
they all banged.
Well, I know. I actually don't think I've ever played. No, I played UFC and it didn't work, which isn't the same as a wrestling game, but has wrestling mechanics in it, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't class it as the same. But
yeah, it's not the same. Yeah, but that game didn't work, so it's
still too much cuddling in it for my liking.
It's fair.
Would you the not wrestling play a games from back then were.
Would you, Louis?
What?
Would you play a professional cuddling simulator?
No.
No.
How very straight of you.
I know. Right.
I think the wrestling games from back then were really good. PS2 ones were really good.
Mm.
Shut your mouth. Here comes the pain. SmackDown versus Raw.
I know a lot of people like them. I know a lot of people like them.
They banked.
They kind of go into the realm of, like, you know, the Dragon Ball Z fighting games. Like, they kind of, like, blur into that realm for me. I mean mechanically, but I mean in terms of, like, I know that there are people that enjoy those kind of games, but I look at them and go, yeah, that's not for me, and then walk on. You know?
I think they're really fun to play with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really good party games.
Mm.
I think the early ones, they've tried a lot to do like single player stuff, and they're not bad to be fair. But like, sure. I do think they're probably at their best when you're in a party mode.
Yeah,
as it were.
I always had Smash for that. I know you would probably not enjoy it as much, but I was always enjoyed playing Smash in that kind of sense, like in party settings and stuff. As especially younger. Like I remember when Brawl came out on the Wii, and I was like, "Oh shit, let's have a bunch of people around, and we'll have a little like party, and we'll play fucking stupid Smash Bros. Shit, and like unlock all the characters and the shit, you know." Did you not feel like that on PlayStation All Stars?
You can't play that all of the time, can you?
No, well, but like on the day of release, you just play it for like a night or whatever, right?
Yeah, but you do the same with that, right? It's no different.
Yeah, exactly.
So different, you know.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't it's saying like I don't say it was. I was just thinking like that's best, I played those instead.
The best wrestling game, of course, is, as we all know, is Def Jam Fight for New York. So
I hear those ones are fun. Yeah.
Def Jam Fight for New York specifically.
Is it the one with all the rappers in there good. And they're just like
Yeah.
They look awful. Like Snoop Dogg in it or
something.
I just
like the one. I like the ones where you can create your own wrestler and make an absolute hideous monster.
Yeah, that's the other thing the wrestling games have always been.
The character creation is always fun, at least, yeah.
The character creation is... Like, when they've dulled that down, there has been a huge amount of...
Really?
A huge backlash.
I've always ever seen people make their own wrestlers as well. Like, I don't typically see people pick wrestlers that aren't wrestlers they've created. Like, one of the biggest things I've ever seen from those games is, like, people going, oh, look, I made Spider-Man. Oh, look, I made fucking whoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the bits that I think people enjoy the most out of those games, right?
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest aspects of it.
One of the biggest aspects, yeah. Like,
once made the blue-bearded warrior princess.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That sounds like something that you'd make. I don't know. I don't know if I'd ever... I mean, I probably love dicking around with a character creator for a bit. I think I used to do that with... Because the Tony Hawk's games used to have a fairly decent character creator as well at one point, right? They were
yeah, you can have your bright blue skin.
yeah, that's it. It wasn't early on, it was later on, I think, like after like Tony Hawk's 4, and then when they started getting into like the underground stuff, you could just, like, they started making a more of a focus on you making your own character. You could make your own character from 2, but they were pretty, like, just human-based, but you basically do fucking anything when it comes to Underground 2, like, with Bam Margera. It's like, did you ever play Underground 2?
Yeah.
Such a weird game.
It was a very odd game.
Like, I remember the Tony Hawk's Underground games where the story was, like, super cool. You were, like, a skater, and then... And you had to grow up and become cool and make it to pro and stuff like that. And you were like a rival who was like nasty and stuff and tried to trip you up. And then like Tony Hawk's 2 was just like Underground 2 was just like, hey, you already made it. You're a pro skater. Now let's like fuck about with Bam Margera and like explode stuff.
What if it was that? But also on top of that,
but it's also Jackass.
Yeah.
it definitely shifted into Jackass, and I was so confused as to why that was the case.
Good game, but just weird. Yeah.
It was just that the story had shifted to from like zero to hero to Jackass.
It's like you're riding about that. I can't remember what American city is, but the first American city, and you can find the guy who has the I don't even know how you call it. It was like a super powered. What are they called, those things where it's just two wheels and you stand in the middle of it and you lean?
Oh, a Segway.
Yeah, he has like a super-powered Segway. And then you could find like... They also had like loads of random characters. That wasn't... There was like an old American president in that level as well that you could find.
Probably.
I can't remember which one. Ben Franklin, maybe?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I don't remember.
That makes sense.
And then like you had the Barcelona one where there was the guy with the ball riding around.
I remember the ball.
The guy in the wheelchair. And then there was like, there's just a lot of random stuff in that game.
Yeah, it got... Wasn't that when Tony Hawk started to get a little bit out of hand as well?
What, as a man?
Yeah, no. I mean, when the game started to get a little bit like, okay, this is too much now. You know, they went from arcadey to like, okay, let's rein it in a little.
Well, yeah, because the Underground was like the shift away from that, right?
Yeah.
You had like the pro skater games, which were the sort of...
They were just fun arcade games, basically, right?
Yeah, I guess. And then you had like Underground 2. I think the one after that was American Wasteland.
Yeah. I remember American Wasteland.
And you had like Project 8, Proving Ground. There was a bunch of different ones.
There was a bunch of different ones, yeah. But I think that's when it started to struggle a bit.
Yeah. After Underground 2, I don't remember... Tony Hawk ever having the sort of momentum as a franchise until 1 plus 2 came out. When was it? Last year? Year before that?
You know, there's one thing I remembered about Project 8.
Oh, yeah.
And that's that it had the twins from The Shining in it.
Wait, really? That's so weird. I mean, Tony Hawk's isn't unusual, because, like, Spider-Man was actually a playable character in Tony Hawk at one point, right? So it's not unusual to have weird characters from pop culture, but that is a weird character to have in.
But he did that. Like, in that level, the first one I was talking about with the guy with the superpowered Segway, you find him, and I'm sure it's a reference to Cheers.
Maybe it is. I wouldn't have... I'm I don't sure remember, because I don't think I ever saw Cheers at that age.
But, I might be wrong. Yeah. I've got Underground Ground 2 somewhere. I just don't know where.
I'm now thinking that I want to play them again. Yes. Rest in peace, Neversoft.
Oh, more rest in pieces.
Yeah, they kind of got obliterated a little bit towards the end there.
They did.
They did all the Guitar Heroes and then went on to do, what was it? I think they turned into a Call of Duty studio by the end. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Sadly, that's kind of how it worked, right?
They absorbed into the mothership.
They did.
Did you ever play that game they made called Gun?
No. Oh. But I have heard.
Do you remember the one I'm talking about?
I do not. It's got a bright yellow cover.
Yeah, that's what I remember. And yeah. I always looked at it and went, maybe that game's cool, but never ever looked into it. I've never seen gameplay from it. Nothing. Yeah. I just remember the bright yellow cover and the fact it was made by Neversoft. But yeah. I never ever looked past it in any other
way. Anything else about it. It's like, just play the game Wet.
Do you know what? I'm going to back Wet. I think Wet's all right, you know? I think Wet's decent.
No.
Wet's decent, disagrees. Man. Wet's a fun... Dave, did you play Wet, though?
I played, like, the first two chapters of Wet.
I think Wet's
It got
right.
weird. It got not great quickly.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I'll back that. But I think Wet was all right.
I don't think it was bad by any means, but I think it was definitely...
You're jumping through, it's like all slow motion, you're shooting people, that's like all it has to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
There are worse games out there.
There's that section near the beginning.
There's nothing we love more than QTEs.
Where you have the bit and it's like the song that song plays, maybe you're driving me insane, and you're like shooting everything in slow motion. It's kind of, but it had a swag, it had a sauce that game.
I just remember the bit where they tried to rip off fucking Kill Bill, and like the screen goes red and then it goes wah, 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 or whatever, and they're just like,
that I don't remember that. But
do you remember, again, do you remember the screen just went red sometimes?
No,
she went
but
into like
never...
berserk mode.
No, but then again, I've also never watched Kill Bill, so I wouldn't I wouldn't link the two in my head, you know.
Fair enough.
You monster!
Can't be arsed. It's a lot of effort.
Oh my god! You fucking can't be arsed with anything, Charlie. You silly man.
To be fair,
watching Kill Bill is an awful lot of effort to indulge in Quentin Tarantino's foot fetish.
You really, you know what? that's very fair.
I think that's a fair comment. Like, it's not a bad film by any means, and there are definitely cool moments in it. But like, the man went full foot fetish on that project. It did not stop.
Quentin Tarantino is a character.
That is true. That is true. He is a bit of a character, isn't he?
Wet, of course, made by the same people who did Dead by Daylight.
Oh, really? Is it?
Eventually, yeah. They went on.
Didn't realize that. Did not realize that.
They've been around for a long old time. They made PS1 games. They made the Monsters Inc. PS1 game as well.
I've never played the Monsters Inc. PS1 game.
I have that.
And Bugs Bunny and Taz Time Busters.
I kind of enjoyed the Monsters. Like, he wasn't good. So,
I enjoyed it as well.
I enjoyed the Monsters Inc. PS1 game. Like, there was a surprising amount of gameplay in the Monsters Inc. game.
Yeah, it's a decent game. It was sort of like, it was sort of very much PS1 platformer, but then, like, there was these robots that you'd have to scare.
Yeah.
It was like, you'd have to, like, charge it up, and you'd be like, ooga, booga, 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 booga. It was decent, man.
In fact, they've got a massive list of stuff. I'd never even realized that they're
like told you. They had like your Doom style level structure where you had to get a certain thing before you could scare this kind of robot, or you know, it's basically like you have to get the red key to open the door, to get the blue key to open the blue door, to get the yellow key to open the, you know, that kind of thing.
I get you.
Yeah, it was good, man. That game was alright. They released some okay games, and then they released a game called Naughty Bear, and it just went
Naughty
very
Bear,
well.
Yeah,
and then they ended up changing their
Behavior Interactive from the. But to be fair, they also made Doritos Crash Course. So there we go.
As I said, they've been around a long time, and they've made a lot of random stuff.
And there was a second Naughty Bear game. I couldn't remember there was a second one.
Naughty Bear is the kind of game where it's fun for like the first 10 minutes and then the novelty wears off fast.
Sure, I understand. I never played it, but I remember people talking about how it was like GTA for some reason.
It's just a bear.
Doing naughty stuff.
Murders. From what I remember, the reviews were bad.
I thought they were middling. I thought they were kind of like whatever. I don't think people were that against it when it came out.
I mean, I don't know. You're probably on the Wikipedia page right now, so you could probably.
I am right now. You're right. Yeah, they weren't great. Yeah, they were not. They were not good. It's a 3 out of 10 from IGN. that's definitely that's definitely not good.
Yeah, I remember it being very bad.
Yeah,
I didn't think IGN gave. Game scores that low.
I know, this is what I'm saying. I'm like, oh shit.
I thought they got enough money to not do that.
I remember it was Greg Miller who reviewed it. It was just a bad time, man. I just remember the game just not being the one. And then, like I said, it went so bad, he ended up changing their name.
Speaking of games that are not the one, we're leading with a question today and a bit of a news story. This is written in Polygon, but it was originally a tweet from Sonic creator Yuji Naka, saying he was kicked off the project for Balan Wonderworld and has sued Square Enix. I've got a list of translated tweets from Yuji Naka, translated by Cheesemaster3K on Twitter. There's a lot of tweets, but I'll read like the basics of what was said. The first tweet is, I was removed as the director of Balan Wonderworld about half a year before release, so I filed a lawsuit against Square Enix. Now that the proceedings are over and I'm no longer bound by company rules, I'd like to speak out. I think it's wrong of Square Enix not to value games and game fans. According to court documents, I was removed as the director of Balan Wonderworld for two reasons. It was done by the producer, head of marketing, head of sound, managing director, and HR. First, when a YouTuber's arranged piano performance of the game music was released in a promotion instead of the original game track, turning the composer into a ghostwriter, I insisted that the original track be released, and this caused trouble. Second, according to court documents, Naoto Oshima told producer Noriyoshi Fujimoto that the relationship with RZest, the developer of Balan Wonderworld, was ruined due to comments I made wanting to improve the game in the face of RZest submitting the game without fixing bugs. So I guess that says that the original developers, RZest, didn't want to fix the bugs for Balan. Also, in an email from Oshima to Fujimoto, he wrote, I just told the staff about the demo delay. When I told them this was producer Fujimoto's decision, let's do our best for him, the staff applauded and cheered. Staff's all been down lately, but their spirits have been revived. Thank you very much. All the staff will work hard. So the schedule wasn't up to me. But the schedule being tight was the producer's doing. We were releasing an original game, but only putting out an arranged track was definitely wrong. I believe the game music that everyone can hum out are the original tracks. I believe that every effort must be put in to make games the best they can be until the very end, so game fans will enjoy what they buy. It wasn't right to, without discussion, remove and completely disassociate from the project a director saying so. Retweeting, liking, etc. on SNS, social media, I guess, was banned, so I don't think Square Enix values game fans. There are many comments and wonderful illustrations about Balan Wonderworld, and I'm really sorry I couldn't react to them. Myself, I'm truly sorry to customers who bought Balan Wonderworld in an unfinished state. From this point onwards, I'll be able to react to posts tagging me or directed towards me on social media. Asking for fixes in order to make something good should be a given. If that's not possible, it should be talked over. But Square Enix doesn't value games. Basically, sort of the end of that. It runs round to, I think the resulting Balan Wonderworld and the critical reception it received has a lot to do with what happened. I'm really disappointed that a product I worked on from the start turned out this way. I personally regret that Balan Wonderworld was released to the world in an unfinished state. I wanted to consider all kinds of things and release it as a proper action game. I don't think Square Enix and RZest value games and their fans. That's the whole group of tweets there. So I wanted to ask, do we really think that Yuji Naka is correct and that Square Enix and RZest are the ones that made Balan Wonderworld such a bad game?
I think anyone who had a hand in it is to blame.
Really? Why do you think that?
I think because, like, just look at the state of it. It's just there is nothing you could salvage from this to make it a working or even a good, like, just a good experience. It's just terrible. It's just fundamentally flawed, regardless of, like, the bugs, the visuals. It's just just from a conceptual level, it is utter trash.
It's,
and regardless of how many people you have working on it, the result was still going to be the same.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
What do you think, Charlie? Do you have anything to say about this?
Not really. I mean, what do you think first?
So, I was thinking about it, and I wasn't sure what to think. On one hand, I'm not saying I don't believe Yuji Naka, and I don't believe that Yuji Naka's what Yuji Naka's saying is incorrect. Like, I don't think that he would lie about Square Enix taking him off the project half a year before completion. I don't think he would lie about the mismanaged marketing and the use of someone else's soundtrack. But in the same sort of vein, I have also seen a lot of things online about how Yuji Naka is, like, awful to work with, genuinely awful to work with, and has done similar things to what he says Square Enix has done. I also kind of agree with Louis in this case that I think, like, I don't know how much polishing Balan Wonderworld would make it a better game. Like, I don't know how much of that game was already not good enough to begin with. And like, sure, there was some stuff that they can improve, like the visuals and like the sound design, whatever. There are bits and pieces that can be polished. But still, deep down, that game has a lot of problems. A lot of those problems are not due to budgeting, as far as I'm aware, as far as I can tell, but are down to design decisions. Like, the big one when we played the demo was that I felt kind of travel sick as I moved, and I don't feel like having the world move at the same time as the character was a problem with the budget. I think that was a design decision there, you know.
Curves, man. Why does it curve?
Maybe it was. Maybe it's a design decision because they couldn't afford to put everything on screen at once.
They're trying to save our assets because our computers will explode.
Yeah, something like that. But, like, I don't think that is the case. I think the case is, like, Yuji Naka was like, no, I want the world to be like this. And did it like that, and that's, you know, I don't think that the Balan Wonderworld is bad because Square Enix took him off the project, right? I don't think that's why Balan Wonderworld's so bad. I don't know.
It was always going to be bad.
Well, I just think if you're being removed from the project, then that suggests there's problems to begin with. I don't remember at any point people being anticipating that game because it was going to be good. I think there was never any rumblings that this game was going to be good. there was a lot of rumblings because of who Yuji Naka is and what he's worked on, Nights into Dreams being the obvious one, with the comparison of what was going on at the time. But, like, I don't remember at any point there was, like, a big thing. And I think him, for example, talking about how he felt like it was the game was submitted with unaddressed bugs. It's like, if you think the bugs are the issue, then there's probably a bigger, larger problems at play here. I think it just was a mess. And I don't think it ever should have been released. And I don't think that looks good on him. I don't think that looks good on Square Enix. I don't think that looks good on anyone in this situation.
No, I think
it's just an absolute... In fact, the only people I can probably think it's not a negative on would be the people who've worked on it. Like the actual developers, the leads of the game, completely different story. Yeah. But developers, it's like, clearly this was something that was rushed, that was like scoped all wrong, that was just... It just wasn't managed from start to finish in any way, in any form that was like useful.
I
look at the reviews and you see why, like the glitches and bugs and everything else, the least of that game's problems. It says way more about everything else. And him talking about being removed and all that stuff, yeah, I'm not going to say that's going to help. Of course it's not. But if at any point the consideration is to take you off, then that means the management is wrong. You know, I don't think any right-minded company would be up for taking off the lead because of something that's working, especially that
if the game was working incredibly well, they would not have taken him off, would they? They would not have been,
especially
like...
that soon before release. 6 months before release, it's just, you know, you saw with like Halo Infinite recently how like all of the leads in that game changed very quickly, but that wasn't 6 months before release. No. That was 18 months before release. And even then I'm shocked it came out so quickly. We're talking about the game is basically in polish time and you're being taken off. I don't know. It
smacks of like, there's some other underlying problem there, I think. I think
it was probably a game that was like, if I was being polite about it, I would say it was probably a game that was harmed by console transitions and work from home.
That could potentially also be an issue, yeah. Could also,
because you know, how many games when the pandemic first hit, how many games did we get delayed?
Yeah, I mean, lots were delayed,
pushed back like significantly. And it's like, I've like hearing a lot of developers talk about how different it was moving to that style, and how you have to take literally weeks to months to just sort out the workflow again, because you all of a sudden you're not in the same place as someone. How do you, you know, we do it with videos. How the hell do you send a file to someone? Do you know what I mean? Now imagine it's not a video. Imagine it's all of these assets and
full
everything.
Full game,
everything else
basically. Going
around. It's a whole different thing. And I think if I was being polite about it, I would say it's a game that looks like it suffered horrendously from the console transition and the work from home transition. I can't say that for certain, but if I was being polite, that's what I'd put it down to.
I think that's fair. I think there's definitely probably, I can't say it's definitely, but I think there's probably some aspect of that hindered it as well. I think I understand why people want to blame Square Enix for this as well. Like, I think they're not blameless in the whole situation. You know, I think there are definitely some things that they could have done better. And I think a lot of people are pointing to their production output at the moment being, you know, like genuinely abysmal. Not just Battle on Wonderworld, but it was Babylon's Fall from Platinum, and there's a few other things, like The Quiet Man was pretty recent, and like the Chocobo GP, which is just a mess of microtransactions and like a somewhat fun game underneath that's just been marred by that shit. I don't know what you guys think of Square Enix's production quality at the moment, and whether whether it is possible that Yuji Naka is just straight up like telling the truth, and he's like, no, Balon could have been good, and Square Enix have been mismanaging it, because it's clear they're mismanaging other things as well. Not even just on their production side, like Chocobo GP was clearly built in-house, and is clearly also very bad.
He's the director. He's the director.
He's
the director of the game.
Yeah.
Like, you're the management guy. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, people above meddling is something that is more than just a problem with Square. It's a problem with lots and lots of places, right? Like, that's not just the them problem. And I think you can always point to any publisher potentially and say, this isn't good, therefore, you know, there's evidence for this. But at the same time, it was 6 months away. You were the director. Like, at some point, you have to sort of figure your own stuff out. Like, some, like the where does the like your game was getting 3 out of 10s, you know, and they weren't getting 3 out of 10s with people going, this could have been great. It was getting 3 out of 10s with, this is hot garbage. You know, like, and I think you can't, you can always blame the person above you, but at some point the buck has to stop somewhere. That's not to say it has to stop with him. I'm just saying you can, there's, it's one of these things where there's probably a lot of truth in what he's saying, but the ultimate point is, I don't know if what he's suggesting would have meant the game would be good.
I agree.
And that's not necessarily just down to him, but he has to take, he is obviously, he was the director of the game. You know, there's like, if it was only coming to a head 6 months before it came out, then why the hell was it not coming to a head way before that?
It's a very fair point. It's a very fair point. Yeah, I agree. I think it, in general, like, it's hard to see. It's hard to see where Balan Wonderworld could have improved without being like, just scrap it.
I think the point, I think the one thing I will say in his defense, though, I think it is the idea of just releasing that game was bad.
I don't think
it should, like, Square Enix should have never let it get to the stage where that game was out.
No, of course not.
Because at that point, what are you going to do? What are you hoping from that? You're essentially just hoping to recoup costs on whatever you spent on development.
Well, yeah, I guess they're pushing it out because they can't be bothered funding it anymore, right? They're just like, no, get it out.
Yeah, and
it's done.
And, like, is that okay? Like, should we be okay with that? I mean, I know that's a reality of business, but should we be fine with them just going, let's just put out this? Because the thing is, and this is the thing I always get frustrated by when people talk about glitches and bugs and all that stuff, the developer knows it's in there.
Oh, of course.
There just has to come a point where you put it out, right? And so, like, Square knew the state that game was in, knew the reception it would get. There's no way they were sitting there thinking, oh, we've got a game in a year.
Oh, this will be a hit. No.
And yet they just went, right, we'll just recoup what we can get from it. And ultimately what that means is they were hoping they could convince enough people to buy a piece of crap to make it worth their while or to stop them losing too much money on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it was an absolute mess, but I don't know how I feel about that in general. That's the one thing back him on, like, the idea of, like, I think it's a very OTT way of wording it. It's a very Jilted Lover way of wording it. They don't care about games. It's like, all right, calm down. But
yeah.
I think there is some logic in that of saying
a nug of truth.
Yeah, I don't know if this should this have even been released. How many copies did it sell? Was that enough, really? Is that worth it? I don't know.
Good question. Yeah, I don't think it was probably worth it. Apparently it sold, I mean, fewer than 2,100 physical copies in opening week. In Japan, I think, more than anything. But yeah, they definitely didn't do well. It definitely didn't do well critically or commercially, I don't think. And as much as I think we kind of splits down to there's definitely, there is a both sides to blame kind of thing, right? There is a, hey, yeah, Yuji Naka probably has a point, and him being taken off at that point is crazy, and like there probably is some genuinely shitty stuff that marketing did with it, like with the composer essentially being written off trailers and stuff like that, right? I find that in itself is, I guess, a larger question in the industry to deal with credits and how people who worked on games are credited, and it's probably not something we should get into, but there's definitely a point.
I didn't really understand what he was saying.
I think I think what happened is with the trailers, they used a fan arrangement of an original composition, and instead of the original composition, and then basically said, like, basically stopped the composer being involved or something. I don't know. It sounds weird. Also, a reminder that we're translating Japanese to English on I know that
one man
has been translated
on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, we're translating Japanese ranted tweets into English, so some of the stuff is not going to make perfect sense to us. Even if what he'd said would make perfect sense, it's still a rant off Twitter at the end of the day, and then translated. But yeah, I guess at the end of the day, it's. I mean, like I said, I guess at the end of the day, I don't think anything that he would have said he said is the issue with Balan Wonderland. Balan Wonderworld isn't the sole issue with Balan Wonderworld. There's a lot of design flaws in there, and yeah,
I don't know. It's a weird one. A weird
one. Bad one.
I mean,
it doesn't reflect well on anyone.
No, you're right. And a lot of the game is like I said, the game's weird. I remember we played the
demo of it, me and Louis, when it came out, and there was a lot of issues.
It was so bad.
There were a lot of issues. And it wasn't just the issues with the gameplay as well, it was the issues with everything. Like everything surrounding it. I'm still baffled that they came up with a power up that literally stops you being able to play the game for 10 seconds. Like, there are so many design decisions in that game where I'm just like, what? What do you mean? What do you mean that exists? I don't know. And they definitely wouldn't have been, you know, fixed just by Square Enix letting him complete his vision, I guess. I don't know.
It needed a lot more than 6 months.
I mean, that's also probably fair, yeah. Considering it's a 3D platformer, and who knows? I don't know. Anyway, that was the big topic. If you have an opinion on this, you can leave it in the comments below on YouTube, or you can tweet out at us at SometimesVG on Twitter and let us know what your opinion is. We will be interested to know if you agree with us or not. Yeah, that was the podcast for today. Thank you very much, everyone who came to listen. It's been nice having you here. We will try and continue with this as much as possible. We've got some exciting things coming up on the channel. So if you do want to be here for all the exciting stuff that's coming out, make sure you hit that subscribe button on YouTube, or you can always hit us a follow on your favorite podcast platform, be that Spotify or iTunes or whatever else that we're on. We're on some other places that I don't even know exist. Yeah, thank you very much. And we will see you next week for more. Goodbye.
See ya. Bye-bye.